Father, we say thank you this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the peace you have given to us. The peace that this world cannot give to us that you have given to us. Father, we say thank you. We are grateful for all that you have done. We have come this morning to say thank you. And we have come also to receive your word. Father, we ask that our hearts be open to receive your word. Every form of distraction, Father, right now, we remove them in the name of Jesus. That your word will dwell richly in our hands. It will dwell richly in our hearts. And it should see it manifest to us in the mighty name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Praise God. This morning we'll be discussing on the topic that says joy of greater harvest. The joy of greater harvest. Joy is a Greek word that comes from aha. It means rejoicing. It means cheerfulness. That is calm delight. It also means gladness. It is gotten from the word aha. K-H-A-R-O-R-E-H. Joy in the New Testament is more than emotion. The joy we are talking about is more than emotion. It is the settled spirit giving delight that arises from the redemptive act and abiding presence of God. It is the settled spirit giving delight that arises from the redemptive act and abiding presence of God. The word harvest is mostly used if you understand farming, you understand the word harvest. When you plant a crop, you water the crop, you see it grows, and you see the fruit comes forth. And now it is ripe. What happens next? The next thing is what? Harvest. There is always a joy. This joy that comes from harvest. If you are a farmer. If you have been there. We did agriculture in secondary school. So they ask you to plant one or two things. There is a joy that comes when the season of harvest comes. Are you aware? Because now you've seen your labor, you've seen everything. Now you want to harvest that crop. There's this kind of joy that comes. See, the season of harvest, you see the farmer, they are so joyful. They are so joyful. I can remember when I received Christ, there was this joy. If you experience it, there was this joy. This joy that came, this joy. And now we are talking about the joy that comes from greater harvest. And Jesus said, the laborers are few, but the harvest is what? It's plenty. So there is a joy that comes from harvest. And now it is not just an harvest, it is a greater harvest. There is a joy in harvest. And we should also know that our harvest should be energized or motivated by joy. Not merely duty. It should not just be a duty thing. It should be something that energizes from joy, that motivates from joy. This harvest we are talking about, it is something that we draw, it comes from joy, not because of God has sent to us to go and harvest. No. It should be more than that. Yes, there's a joy in harvest, but when you want to harvest this, it should come from the point of joy, not of duty. Not of duty. It just related to what our pastor was saying today in workers' meeting, that our service should be what? Born from love. So this harvest should what? Should come. You should drag it, should be energized, motivated by what? By joy. By joy. We should not take it as a point of duty. I will tell you why. Don't just take it like duty, because Jesus said, go in and bring souls into the kingdom. Don't just take it like, you should take it as a joy. Because when you reflect back, when you were brought into the kingdom, you could see that joy. So it is that joy that prepares you to go out and harvest. That's where we are coming from. Oh, I just want you to enjoy this joy that I received. So that joy is what is propelling you. That is motivating you to what? To go for this harvest. Not just as a point of duty. Because you want the next brother, you want the next sister to what? To experience this joy. And the Bible says in Hebrews, he said, the joy that was set ahead of Jesus, that he endured the cross, there was a joy. What was that joy? The joy was you and I. The joy was what? You and I. That was why he endured the cross. Not just as a point of duty because the Father sent him to die for you and I. No, it was beyond that. There was this joy that he had in him. That he was able to endure the cross, the humiliation, the pains, the grief, everything. Because why? He knew that after he had died and resurrected, that people will come, you, me, and the rest that will come to the fold, they will join. That was the joy. That was what helped him to endure the cross. Not just as a point of duty. So when we see it as a joy, it will be easy for us to go out and talk to men and talk to people. Not just because we are seeing it as a duty, is what I must do. No, it is because you understood what you have received, and now you want the next man to receive that same thing. You want your brother, your neighbor to receive that same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are dimensions of love. One, the joy of personal fulfillment. The joy of personal fulfillment. John chapter 4, verse 35. John chapter 4, verse 35 and 36. The joy of personal fulfillment. I'll just give it down, but I would just want to portray on a particular dimension. It says, so say not ye, therefore, are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already what? To harvest. Verse 36. Thank you. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathered food unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice, what? Together. I told you from the onset that joy, when you see rejoice, it also talks about what? Joy. So there's a personal fulfillment when God is using you. When God is using you, see, there's a joy that comes from it. That God is using you to touch lives, that God is using you to transform life, that God is using you to bring men to his kingdom. There's a personal fulfillment in it. There's a personal fulfillment in it. There's a joy that comes when your life becomes a channel of God's power. This joy is deep, lasting, and personal. This joy is deep, is lasting, and it is what? Personal. Because it becomes a personal experience between you and God. Now you see God using you, using his power, manifesting his power through you to what? To do things in the kingdom. There's a joy that comes from it. The second one is the joy of the church, talking about corporate celebration. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 46 and 47. The joy of the church. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 46 to 47. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 46 to 47. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The joy in the church. When harvest increases, joy multiplies in the house. They were in one accord, just like what our pastor was saying this morning, workers' meeting. Just they were in one accord. There was this joy, this gladness among them. And that was what caused the multiplication to happen in the church. There was increase in the church because there was joy among them. As the increase came, there was this joy that came in them. Because why? Souls were added to the church. Souls were added to the church. There was gladness in their hearts. A harvesting church is a joyful church. And if a church is not winning soul, it will eventually lose its joy. We can see it from that scripture. This brings us to the third dimension, which is the internal joy. And this is where I want to dwell much before we just close this morning. The internal joy. That means heaven's celebration. The last one we talked about was the church celebration, corporate celebration. Now we want to talk about heaven's celebration. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 to 10. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 to 10. Every soul you win creates a celebration in heaven. Luke chapter 15, 7 to 10. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. This is where I want to dwell on. You and I was like that before. I will tell you why it says so. There was a time heavens rejoiced over you. Because there was a time you were in the world. There was a time you were a sinner. So this scripture, you can see it fulfilled in your own life. There was a time you and I, this was our testimony. When we came into Christ, he said, heavens rejoiced that Michael has come to the kingdom, that Frank has come to the kingdom, that Senna has come to the kingdom, that Uche has come to the kingdom. The heavens rejoiced. God rejoiced. A policeman that has captured a criminal and has put that criminal in cell, do not bother about that criminal again. Because why? It is what? Under his custody. He goes afterwards. All that criminals that are what? Outside. He does not think about that other criminal. Because why? That criminal he has caught is what? Under his custody. So he's no longer thinking about that one. He's thinking about what? The other ones that are outside. Have you ever you want to buy something, let's say it costs 10,000. And as if it's not 10,000, you cannot get that in. And unfortunately, when you brought out your money, you saw that it was 9,000 and 1,000 was missing. And you know that thing you want to purchase is something that will benefit you. What do? You begin to search, Abby. Why are you searching? Because you want to get something that will benefit you, right? You begin to search. When you find the remaining 1,000 to complete that 9,000 that becomes what, 10,000, what happens? You are full of joy. Because now you know you can go and purchase that thing which you desire. That is what the scripture is saying to you and I. That is what Jesus is saying to you and I. He said there are others fold that he will bring to this fold. It is you going to tell those people, look at what he has done for me. Look at the joy I have received. You want to bring joy to heaven? Don't you know God? The way God receives joy from us is when we bring a soul to the kingdom. That is what the scripture is trying to tell us here. That you want heaven to rejoice. You want heaven to be glad in. You want heaven to be full of this joy. He said when you bring a soul to the kingdom, the heaven is rejoicing. God is rejoicing. Because why? The sacrifice of Jesus was never in vain. Hallelujah. So God is saying to you and I, God wants us to bring joy to heaven. So the way joy comes to heaven, it is when you bring a soul to the kingdom. When you go and bring a soul to the kingdom, that is how joy comes to the kingdom. That is how joy comes to heaven. And he's telling you and I to make it possible. Because why? All it takes for you to do it is already in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of us want heaven to rejoice? How many of us want heaven to rejoice? So what? How do you make it happen now? How? Huh? Winning souls. Winning souls. We'll close with this. If you have, everybody comes from your parents. Some of us have given birth. When a son or a daughter makes his father so happy, makes his father's heart full of joy, whenever that son or daughter asks that father something, I tell you with all gladness, the father will do it for that son, for that daughter. It's just a dimension the Spirit of God is bringing us to right now to tell you it is easier to receive from God when you bring joy to God. I did not thought it's just coming out. It is easier for you to receive from God when you bring joy to God. And Pastor said about the five talents, just think about it. Then you will understand where we are coming from. This minute, I want you to bow your head. Going to bring soul to the kingdom are for those who are ending the kingdom, because you cannot give what you don't have. If you know you are here and you are not yet saved, if you know you are here, you want to experience this joy that comes from the Spirit, that comes from God, you can just put your hands on your chest and we'll just pray this prayer. If you know you want to experience this joy, if you know you want to experience this joy, you can just put your hands. If you have not yet born again, if you have not yet received Christ, you can put your hands on your chest right now as we pray. Say, Father, I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. Today, I receive your word and I ask that you come to dwell in my heart. Take away all my sins and all my transgression and bring me into your kingdom, your everlasting kingdom, the kingdom where there's fullness of joy and peace and love. Oh, Daddy, thank you for what you have done. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And as you are bowing your head down, just say, Father, help me to go out and bring souls into your kingdom. Everything it takes for me to bring soul into your kingdom by your Spirit. Lord, this morning, Alebrando Siva Arabashi Pakata. Lord, help me. Arusinve Empalika Sotolia. Can you just bow your head and talk to God and say, Father, help me. Help me. I want this. Rekindle that love. Rekindle that joy again. That will propel me to go and talk to those ones who are lost. And talk to those ones who are yet saved. That they might come to the kingdom. Open your mouth and begin to talk to God this morning.